All right. Welcome back. It's the Avid Investor Podcast with me, your host, Josh Adamek. And today we're going to talk about some recent conversations that I've had with some very young, very successful entrepreneurs. And when I say young, these guys were early to mid-20s. When I say successful, these guys are earning, you know, $500,000 plus per year, some well into the seven figures. So as I said, These were recent conversations that I've had for various reasons, but it reminded me of some things that that were very, very important tools in the financial tool chest that we have at our disposal that we work from. So one conversation that stood out in particular, a young guy reached out to me and he said, how this came about is if you guys follow me on social media, I threw some stuff out there that, you know, how can I help you? That type of thing. And I've had some guys reach out to me and folks reach out to me and, you know, various questions, various reasons. And, you know, I'm happy to have a conversation. But the one conversation that took place was very interesting. And I just wanted to share. I wanted to recap. So first off, this guy reached out to me, young dude, I think 22, maybe 23 years old, something like that. And he's very, very successful, very high earner. He's making over $500,000 a year in sales. So, you know, he doesn't have a residual income, but, it's, you know, he's doing very well, on commission-based sales. So he asked me, he said, I'm doing well here. He says, I'm killing it. He says, I'm making a ton of money. He says, but I have no time. I'm working around the clock nonstop. And, I'm starting to get a little burned out. And, you know, he went a little bit further into the details of, you know, what his day and week and month looked like. And I mean, the dude's hustling, no doubt. He's killing it. But, I asked him some questions and I said, I asked him about his personal finances. I made some assumptions on his earnings and I was way low, what I assumed. So we clarified that. I asked him about some of his, personal finances. And, in summary, what I told him is, you gotta create cash flow. And I preach that, and that's what we do with our single family home portfolios is, you know, we create cash flow, passive income. So there's a lot of guys out there that, and girls that, you know, are doing very, very well, financially. But it's a never ending battle. Cause you know, if you're in 100% commission sales, you only get paid on what you produce. Unless of course you're in an industry that provides, residuals. I know some guys that are in life insurance sales that are doing very, very well. And, you know, they get paid up front a commission and then they create a residual. How those numbers work and, you know, what that equates to, I have no idea, but, they do very well. But nonetheless, this first guy that I'm talking to, I said, dude, you got to create cash flow. You got to create passive income. You're right now you're young. He's a single dude. When I say single, not married, no kids. It's cool that, and I did the same thing, you know, in my younger years, I just worked around the clock. And fortunately, you know, my wife and my girlfriend at the time, she was fine with me hustling. Cause, she understood what I was trying to do, what I was trying to accomplish there. But as you get, you know, a little bit older into a different position in life, I mean, you got to have that cash flow and you got to have that passive income and you got to have the freedom and the flexibility that the cash flow and the passive income provides. So, that's the first thing I told him. I said, dude, you need to do something. You need to create some cash flow. And then I asked him about his finances. I said, and this is really what I wanted to talk about today. So, when it comes to investing and when it comes to cash flow and looking at ROI, a lot of times your best return on investment is eliminating any personal debt that you have. And I know I talked about this in a previous episode. But I wanted to recap because it was a very, very important part of this recent conversation that I had. So I asked him some questions. I said, what do you have as far as payments and obligations? and you know, explained to him that you know, he said he had some money in the market, and you know, he had one rental, and it wasn't, I think he paid a little bit too much for it, you know, didn't underestimated some expenses or something like that. It wasn't cash flowing that well, but it was cash flowing. But aside from that, he had some money in the market, invested in the market. And I said, what's your money in the market earning? And he told me, you know, of course, the last year or two was pretty decent in the market. But, you know, I said, and I asked him, I said, well, what do you have as far as debt, personal debt? And he said, he told me he had a truck payment, he had a car payment, and he had a mortgage. And I said, any other credit cards, student loans, anything like that? He said, no. So I said, all right, well, let's take a look at buying down your debt. Let's see what kind of ROI that is. So, I asked him what his truck payment was, and I'm going to do the math for you right here while we're talking about this. So, he said that his truck payment was $485 a month, right? So you take $485 a month times 12 months, that's $5,820 that he pays every year in his truck payment. So the balance due on the truck was $28,000. So if you divide 5820 by $28,000, that is a 20.7% cash on cash return for buying down his debt. So like, so many people, that's just one example of many, but so many people are like, you know, let's invest in something, let's do something, you know, let's put money in the market, let's do this, let's do that. Now, don't get me wrong, it is very important to have some liquid funds available, whether that be in a savings account or, you know, money market account that's liquid. You should have some cash on hand for, you know, a rainy day type fund. And I know many of you may have it rain every other day, and it's difficult to keep that fund. But talking about like invest when you have excess cash and you're talking about investments, like before you go out and put money in the market or, you know, buy an investment property or invest in a syndication or something like that, take a look at buying down your own debt if you have any. Cause that right there, that truck example was a 20.7% cash on cash return. So let's move on to the next one. He told me that he had a car payment. He has a decent little car. That payment is $900 per month. So I multiplied 900 times 12, and that's $10,800 a year. And the balance due on that car was $42,000. And I did that wrong. So I did that. I must have hit a wrong button. So let's take $10,800 divided by $42,000. And that is a 25.7% cash on cash return. So if he's got 40 grand sitting in a money market account, earning, you know, whatever, 8% or 4% in a savings account or 2% in a savings account, instead of letting that money sit there, take that, pay off the car, free up $10,800 a year, and get yourself a 25.7% cash on cash return. So here's the next one. Here's the real kicker. I asked him about his home, if he rents an apartment, you know, if he rents or he owns, and he said he owns a home. He lives out in the country. His home is his mortgage payment is $1,100 a month. So $1,100 a month. Let's do this. 1,100 times 12 is $13,200 that he pays every year in mortgage payments. So let's divide that by the balance due of $120,000. And I'm doing this math right in front of you guys, and you can do this with any of your own personal expenses as well. So if he would take $120,000 and pay off his mortgage, that's an 11% cash on cash return. So again, that's a good cash on cash return. So if you add all this stuff up, all of his payments, all of his debts, he's got a $28,000 balance due on his truck, a $42,000, and I wrote this down, a $42,000 balance due on his car, $120,000 balance due on his mortgage. It's $190,000. And those total payments are $29,800 and $20 per year that he pays for the car payment, the truck payment, and the mortgage payment. So if he would take $190,000 that he's got sitting, dude's earning $500,000 a year. He's got cash liquid. So if he would take $190,000 that he's got sitting there in a savings account, money market account, whatever, and pay off his debt, he then frees up $29,820 per year in payments, and that combined equates to an average 15% cash on cash return. So when it comes to investing, so many people are quick to jump into the market or, you know, buy a rental property or do this or do that. But first things first, I mean, pay off your debt. And, you know, a lot of times, more oftentimes than not, paying off your debt is the best return on investment that you can get. Not to mention the peace of mind that you have. Now, this guy, for example, we went through his other expenses and, you know, what he spends on a monthly basis. And I'm like, dude, just think about that. Like, you know, if you had an extra $30,000 a year, and now the industry that he's in, you know, he's had a pretty good run and he's very good at what he does. But that industry could change at any given time. And he could very easily go from earning $500,000 a year to earning $50,000 or $100,000 a year. So with that, buying down your debt and getting that peace of mind is a game changer. So I guess first and foremost, like, why doesn't anybody talk about this? We did the math right there, like 20.7% cash on cash return paying off your truck, 25.7% cash on cash return paying off the car, 11% cash on cash return paying off the house. Why doesn't anybody talk about buying down your debt? I'll tell you why. It's because nobody makes any money when you buy down your debt. We live in a society where everyone wants you to buy and spend and finance and do this and do that and invest. But in reality, like, that's the best cash on cash return you'll get is buying down your debt. And when it comes to investing versus buying down your debt, again, you know, when you buy more things, when you finance more things, when you invest in other things, like, people are making money, people are getting paid. That's reality. But when you're buying down your debt, nobody's getting paid. That's why nobody talks about it. So again, it was super important that, you know, that I talked about this and recap this conversation that I had with these guys. And, you know, if you take that, I mean, go ahead, take any one of your, I urge you to do the same. Take any one of your personal expenses, or take all of your personal expenses and do the math. Credit cards, car payments, student loans, mortgage payments, any monthly obligations that you have, do the return. Like, if I would pay off this balance, if I have money sitting there, if I would pay off this balance, what would that look like? What could that look like for me, as far as cash on cash return? And then on the other hand, I know there's going to be quite a few listening, that will say, well, I don't make $500,000 a year, or I don't have, you know, $190,000 sitting in a savings account or money market account. I'm barely making my money, my monthly payments. I'm barely scraping by. I can barely afford, you know, the minimums on my credit card payments. Well, if that's the position that you are in, there's another way to skin the cat to attack this. And a lot of that is covered. And I know I've talked about this before, but if you haven't read the book, Money Secrets of the Rich, which is right here, it's written by my good friend and mentor, John Burley, out of Phoenix, Arizona. And this book covers the 7 steps to financial freedom and the 5 levels of investors. The 7 steps of financial freedom walks you through step by step on how to eliminate your debt and be completely debt free in 3 to 7 years, I believe it is, regardless of how much money you make and regardless of how much debt you have. It's a pretty straightforward system that, you know, attacks the smallest amount that you owe. Like let's say it's a credit card, you get that paid off, jump to your, you know, next highest balance, which might be a car payment, and next highest balance student loan, mortgage, and it walks you through a step-by-step system on how to get debt free and pay off all your personal debts in I believe it's 3 to 7 years. So if you haven't read that, I mean, this is the one thing that I recommend to just about everybody that I talk to that asks me about finances and personal finances. Get this book, Money Secrets of the Rich, by John Burley. It's $20 on Amazon. And the best part of you know, this book is one, I didn't realize this until recently, but 100% of the proceeds, net proceeds from this book, go to charity. So John is a great friend and mentor of mine. And he's a coach. He's an educator. He's a mentor. And, you know, years ago, he was pushed to write this book, which he really did not want to do. But he made the decision, well, if I'm going to write this book, we're going to do it for a greater cause. So he made the decision to donate all the proceeds to charity. And to date, over 1 million copies, I believe, of this book were sold, probably far more at this point. And all the net proceeds have gone to charity. So shout out to John Burley and the Burley family. So again, like that's the conversation that I had, the bulk of the conversation that I had with the young guy that was, you know, earning, doing very, very well. And, you know, on the cusp of killing himself, not killing himself, literally, but, he was working so hard. He's working so hard and he didn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. So he reached out and, I said, dude, you know, like I said, you gotta pay off your debt and you gotta create some cash flow. So we went through the debt elimination, which, you know, he's fortunately in a position, he should be able to knock that out relatively quickly. So then, you know, let's move on to creating cash flow. How do you create cash flow? Well, there's countless ways to create cash flow. And my obviously method of choice is investing in real estate. Here at Avid and Avid Management Group, we create and manage portfolios of single family homes, which you already know that. And our method, our tried and true method is, you know, portfolios of single family homes, B-class neighborhoods. That's where we create our cash flow. We're an owner operator. We work one-on-one with private and some institutional investors to create and manage those portfolios through equity partnerships. But that's how we do it. That's how we create our cash flow and our passive income. As far as, you know, ways that you can create cash flow and passive income and cash flow, there's a number of ways to do that. Talked about it in plenty of previous episodes. Again, my method of choice is single family homes, B-class neighborhoods. I've been in real estate, investing in real estate, and you already know this, for 20 plus years. I've done every type of residential and some commercial types of investing that there is. You know, I've done countless wholesale transactions, flips, redevelopment type projects, full gut burnouts, and numerous types of residential real estate. But over the last 7-8 years, we've really honed in on the equity model for long-term cash flow for with portfolios of single family homes. And I told this guy, I said, dude, once you get your debt taken care of, create some cash flow. And he's in that business. I mean, he understands real estate and cash flow. And we talked about different ideas, you know, buying multi-units versus single families, things like that. And he's set up, he's in a position where he could be an owner operator. So with that, you know, pay off your debt, create some cash flow. But then, you know, there's people that have no desire to be an owner operator. And they still want that cash flow. They still want that ownership. They still want the benefits that that real estate has to offer. And, you know, if you're in that position where you don't want to be an owner operator, but you still want some cash flow, you can team up with somebody that's willing to do that for you. So we do that at Avid and Avid Management Group. As I said, we create create managed portfolios with for private and institutional investors. But you know, there's other ways, other businesses that you can find and get the benefits as well, whether it's through us or someone else. You know, there's plenty of syndications out there. There's plenty of offerings, public offerings, which we are not a syndicator. We don't do public offerings. This is not a solicitation for you to invest with me or my company. This is just information being provided of the opportunities that are out there. So there are public offerings. There are syndications, different things that you can invest in where you would get all the benefits of ownership of real estate. However, I do want to forewarn you that before you invest in anything, do your due diligence, right? Before you put your money with a syndicator or a fund manager or private equity or anyone that's going to invest money on your behalf, do your due diligence. And what do I mean by due diligence? Check their track record and history. Talk to other investors that have invested with them. Take a look at their previous and current portfolio and their track record. Get reviews any way that you can get reviews. Just like anyone that you know, we do due diligence on. We check the Bethonotary civil docket and local magistrate filings. You know, see if there's anything out there that you should be concerned with. Just because you see something on Instagram that's a flashy, looks good ad that's, you know, offering you, you know, 12-15% preferred returns, or, you know, X number, 20% IRRs in some fancy, you know, apartment complex or development. Just because you see it on Instagram doesn't mean it's real, doesn't mean it's going to happen. I just, to forewarn you, just do your proper due diligence before you invest, because once you invest, you're in. So it, when you get into real estate, it's not as liquid as going into the stock market or buying a mutual fund. You can't just press a button and sell your shares. If you're investing in a fund or a syndication, there will likely be stipulations on how your money goes in and how, if or when, your money can go back out. So again, before you click the button, subscribe, and, you know, fund your investment in that syndication, just do your proper due diligence and make sure you've truly underwritten, not so much the deal, but the sponsor of the deal. Check their track record, check their history, get your referrals, do proper due diligence. And the old saying is proper preparation prevents poor performance. So if you properly do your due diligence and you're comfortable with that investment going in, then, you know, you should be in a good spot. Not to say that, you know, deals and opportunities don't go sideways or, you know, don't go as planned. But, if you're investing with an operator that's, you know, been around and been through the deal, been through the business and has been around for a long, long time. You know, a lot of times if something comes up in that investment, you know, there's a way to make it right or figure it out or work around. And keeping, you know, low loan to values, lots of equity in deals, making sure the operator, seeing that the operator, the syndicator has an investment, into their syndication as well. You know, those are all important things to look at. So that's that. I mean, you know, when it comes to creating cash flow, number of ways to do it. My method of choice is single family homes, regular houses, regular neighborhoods. We invest in, that's primarily what we invest in, and the bulk of our portfolio is single family homes, B-class neighborhoods. Why? Because there's always a need for a $1,200 to $1,500 a month rental in Pittsburgh, in and around Pittsburgh, regardless of market conditions. So that's why we invest. You know, the market's up. We're getting good residents in our homes. The market's down. We're getting good residents in our homes. There's always a need. You know, again, I've been in different development opportunities, different new construction, very, very high end projects. And my investing method of choice is single family homes, B class neighborhoods. There's always a need. And I get asked often, well, why don't you invest in apartments? Why don't you buy a complex? It's like, I've been told, well, how many single family homes can you go out and buy a year? It's like, I don't know, throw any number out there, 50, 100, 25, whatever the number is. And I've been told, well, I could just go out and buy a 100 unit apartment complex while you go out and find, you know, your 100 single family homes. And while that may be true, my opinion is that single family homes is the safest place for my investors to be and my company to be as far as safety and security when it comes to an asset class. If we were to go out and buy, you know, a 50 or 100 unit apartment building, apartment complex, sure, we may get a great buy on it. We may stabilize the asset and be in at a great loan to value. But then when the market shifts or the market changes or the competition, the competitors get more aggressive with their apartments, you know, if vacancies are high and the competitors in the nearby area drop their rents, well, you know, there's no reason why somebody living in an apartment wouldn't move to the other apartment complex if they're going to save a couple of $100 a month when their lease is up. So there's that competition factor. There's the risk factor, in my opinion, where, you know, there's always the opportunity that you know, an area could go down. You know, something could happen where an area goes down, which affects the value of a complex. And if you got all your eggs in one basket in that 50 or 100 unit apartment complex, and you get high vacancies, you get a couple of bad tenants in there, which just destroy the whole mentality and morale in the complex there. You know, there's things that can happen where if I have, you know, let's just say 50 or 100 single family homes in and around a certain market, you know, one, I have multiple exit strategies. So if the market's really good, I have the opportunity to sell off these homes one at a time. If the market's not good for sales, well, that's not our primary exit. We buy them for cash flow. And as I said, there's always a need for a $1,200 to $1,500 a month rental in and around Pittsburgh. So again, you can get involved in any type of investment, any type of cash flow investment, but our go-to, our primary is single family homes and B-class neighborhoods. And whether you want to do it on a large scale and buy, you know, build a big portfolio of 50, 100, couple hundred houses, you can do that. If you just wanted to create some cash flow and buy, you know, 2, 5, 10 houses. I talked about this in a previous episode where, you know, if you go out and buy one house a year for 10 years with rapid pay down, then year 11, meaning you finance them over 10 years and pay them down quick. Year 11, your first house is paid off. Year 12, if you're buying one a year for 10 years, which isn't very hard to buy one house a year, by the way, buy one a year for 10 years. And year 11, your first house pays off. Year 12, your second house pays off. Year 13, your third house pays off, and so on and so forth. Well, there you go. 20 years out, you've got 10 houses that are free and clear. That, let's just say, they're B-class neighborhoods in Pittsburgh. You know, they're probably renting for, let's say, $1,500 a month after you pay your taxes and insurance. You probably got, you know, after some vacancy and repairs, you got $1,000 a month net. So 10 houses, $10,000 a month, $120,000 a year. Not bad for a part-time gig if you just bought one house a year for 10 years. And then 20 years out, you got 10 houses free and clear. And you can do the math scaling it, you know, what kind of cash flow you're going to have year 11, 12, 13, 14, and so on. You can figure that math out on yourself, but, you can do that on your own. You can invest, you know, if if you know you're a high earner with little to no free time, you can go into a syndication, you can go into you know, a fund, you can partner up with someone like me and my company to do equity partnerships. But again, I mean, it's not a solicitation here. I'm just telling you the throwing out the different options that are available. So, but anyways, that's it. I think we're going to wrap it up for today. Again, thanks so much for tuning in. And I just wanted to recap those conversations that I had with these guys that are recent. And I know primarily I just talked about the one guy that I met with. There were some others, but you know, that's I think we're going to leave it at that for today. Again, you know, do the math, do yourself a favor, do the math and see what kind of ROI you could get for buying down your own debt. And then do yourself a huge, huge favor. And if you haven't already done so, go on Amazon and buy John's book, Money Secrets of the Rich. It's if you can't see it on the video here, it's a white and green cover. It's $20 on Amazon. And that will change your whole mindset and way of thinking when it comes to money, cash flow, finances, and the value of buying down your debt and becoming financially free. So thanks so much for tuning in. That's it for today. Appreciate you guys listening. And again, I'm not asking for anything in return here other than if you can share this episode with somebody and help me spread the word. Thank you and have a great day.